My name is Simon Cox. The time is 10 past 5 in the afternoon on September the 6th, 2009. I'm interviewing on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. Can I firstly ask you to state your name, age, and where you've come from today?
I'm Leslie Roy Walton. I'm 53 and I come from Shrewsbury in Shropshire.
Have you lived there for a long time?
I was born there. I've lived there throughout my life, but not every day, day in, day out. I've been around, lived other places, but yeah, it's where home is, yeah.
And what do you do for a living?
I actually work in BBC local radio for BBC Radio Shropshire, and I'm a producer for a mid-morning show called Jim in the Morning with Jim Hawkins. We do all sorts of chat-style programming, reaction to news, and all kinds of things. A very busy, hectic environment, and going to be on the plinth is going to be a nice break, actually.
And how did you get into this job?
Really by accident, really. I for years I worked for Shropshire Council, and in a pretty mundane job. I was in publications, doing historical publications and stuff like that, and I just got to a point in my life where I just saw myself getting to be an old man and having done nothing but work for the council, and I just decided to just literally walk out. I just left one day, handed him a notice, didn't even really serve most of it, just left, didn't know what I was going to do. And then I just happened chanced on a work experience thing that was going on at Pebble Mill in Birmingham. Pebble Mill used to be the big BBC regional base in the Midlands. I got my name on a list. I managed, just like for the plinth, to have my name plucked out of a hat, and I ended up there. I worked there for about 3 months as a volunteer doing work experience, and I just so happened a job came up and I was in. Right place, right time.
And so for how long have you been working as a producer role?
I've been a producer in local radio for about 12 years now. It seems longer than that. Every day, day in, day out. 3 hours of programming a day to fill. It's a nightmare.
And do you enjoy this work?
It's good fun. It's great fun. I mean, you meet loads of people. You get into lots of situations you wouldn't be able to normally get into. You go out to do a report with a microphone. You can end up in the most remarkable places that you'd never get to normally.
Has there been a particular report or outing that particularly stands out?
Well, that's a tricky one. Not really anything that would strike you as being epic that stands out. Quite often it's what might seem to be ordinary, but when you get your nose into the job and then you're in through the door, it suddenly becomes an experience which touches you. You get into people's houses, people's lives, you find out about their experiences, and they tell you the most remarkable tales. I mean, some of the stories I've recorded, we haven't even broadcast, but people have willingly told them, but we haven't broadcast simply because we've made a editorial management decision that perhaps it would be better not to for that person's privacy. And it is quite remarkable.
So in some regards, there seems to be a similarity between this and the plinth.
Well, the plinth is like a broadcasting system in a way, isn't it? I mean, already you're broadcasting on the web, and just the fact that you're actually stood there, you're part of British life. I mean, you may even be a visitor and you might have got on the plinth, but you will be part of almost like a census of people in those 100 days on the plinth, a slice of the strata of life in Britain. And you, whatever you're doing on there, will be a part of that. Your fingerprint will be in history forever.
So what are your views on the plinth as a project?
Well, I'm a little bit... It's a difficult question to ask without sounding biased, because I've always been a big fan of performing arts. Ever since I saw back in the 60s someone explaining art to a dead hare in the Tate Gallery, and it was just so bizarre, but it just said so much to me that I thought it was something that we needed to have more of. We don't do enough of it, there isn't enough of it, and there should be more. And this is a superb example of how it can work at its best and finest. That sounds awfully patronising, but I really do think that.
So how did you feel when you found out you got a place for the plinth?
I was shocked. I was absolutely amazed that I'd been so lucky. And with so many names were on the list, and when your name does come out, it's a bit like a lottery door and your name comes out. And it's really nice. I mean, I was quite taken back. I didn't really know what I was going to do and what kind of thing I would do on the plinth. At first I thought I'd just sit there and just be me sitting there. Perhaps in many ways that might have been the better thing.
And what are you going to be doing on the plinth?
Well, I'm going to be doing a representation of Charles Darwin as an old man. There's some very famous pictures of him when he was quite old, living at Down House in his 80s. He's got a long white beard and a black coat and a black bowler hat. And walking along his thinking path, which is where he came up with all his great theories. So I'm going to go out dressed as him at that age. And people are going to be able to question me through Twitter, which is the social network at the moment, the big one. And they'll be able to question me at Question Darwin. And I will answer the questions that they send in. But of course, the trick is, of course, that I don't know anything about what Darwin would have said or will say. So I'm just going to be answering them in the most ridiculous way possible.
And what led you to choose Darwin as a historical character to portray?
Well, because I'm from Shrewsbury. Darwin was born in Shrewsbury 200 years ago. It's 150 years since the publication of his most famous book, The Origin of the Species. And he's a Salopian that all Salopians are proud of. He's a world-leading name, and we don't do enough in our town. Shrewsbury is absolutely appalling. You come to Shrewsbury to celebrate Darwin, we have busloads of tourists coming in from around the world trying to find Darwin's birthplace, trying to find a museum of Darwin memorabilia. There's very little at all, really. There's a walk around the town. You can go down the tourist information and put your name down for a walk around the town, and someone will give you a tour of where he was at school and stuff, but it's all very quiet, really. I think people are quite disappointed when they come.
So how are you feeling about going onto the plinth then?
I was excited. I got more excited. I was positively bubbling with enthusiasm yesterday. Now it's 40 minutes to go and I'm nervous. Very nervous. I'm not looking forward to it.
Do you think you'll be going to gain anything from this experience?
Embarrassment? I think probably, without wishing to sound dramatic, I think probably the thing I'm most going to gain is humility, I think, because I'm already feeling a bit as though, am I really worthy of this? Is what I'm doing worth anything? I mean, surely there are better causes or better statements that could be made other than mine. But then I suppose I have to go back to my original thoughts about Gormley's idea of it being a slice of the strata of life or a snapshot in time, and I'm just one little atom in that structure, I suppose.
How successful do you think the project has been?
I think it started off well. I don't know. I mean, I have enjoyed watching it, but then I'm an interested participant because I put my name in the draw and wanted to know if I was going to be drawn, and I watched it. I think the sort of mass media publicity for it seemed to have ebbed a little, but maybe that's because I live in the provinces in Shropshire. If I was living in London, maybe I'd see a different picture.
What do you think of London as a city?
I love it. It's great. It's fantastic. It's too expensive, like everybody else. I love coming here. Can't afford to often enough. Fantastic art. I mean, the fact I went into the National Gallery earlier on today, it was free to go in. They had a special exhibition on from Caro to Monet. Wonderful exhibition. It was free to go in. You know, I go to the Louvre in Paris quite often, and I love going there. €7 to get in there, and yet you can come here to London and there's galleries everywhere and they're free to get in. It's a fabulous place. Love it.
You mentioned your obvious enjoyment in art and talking about that 1960s experience. What particular arts or forms of arts do you enjoy?
Ooh, that's difficult. I enjoy all sorts of arts. I mean, it can be architectural, it can be sculptural, it can be painting. Myself personally, I draw and I paint in a fairly sort of loose, abstract way. I do a lot of work with thick black lines and colour forms and shapes that I combine on canvases. I do a lot of that. How would I describe it? I suppose Patrick Caulfield-esque, I suppose, would be one way of saying it. So I do enjoy painting, and I enjoy draftsmanship in painting, so I enjoy looking at paintings that show high quality of draftsmanship, but I also enjoy impressionism. Oh, I mean, everything. And just like going to the National Gallery and the Carol to Monet exhibition, you know, you go and see exhibitions like that, and there's something in every painting, something in every picture, and every sculpture you look at, there's something in every sculpture. It might not be the whole sculpture; it might just be one item, might be one curve of a line, one feature on a nail, one toe, one hairline, just one silhouette against the background, a bit like the One Another symbol. Sounds as though we planned that.
How long have you been into drawing yourself?
I drew a lot when I was in my early teens, 13, 14, 15, just scribbling away. But I suppose that was the early start of trying to get some sort of skill in drawing. It wasn't until I got to be about 20, 21, 22 that I suddenly took a deeper interest in what it is that I was trying to achieve. I went to art college, I went to university, but I didn't finish my degree. I left early because I wasn't happy with the way. In the days when I went, I'm 53 now, in the days when I went, it was a very rigid structure. I went to Manchester Polytechnic to do a fine arts painting degree, and it was very, very rigid. They had very strict ideas about what they thought was good and what wasn't good, and I just got frustrated by the whole thing, so I never finished it. I got to about third of the way into my third year, so it was a bit stupid to leave, but I did leave. And then from that, I just went into working in art. I left that, and then I went to work for, like I said, I went to work for the council. I did a lot of design work for them, doing lots of artwork and exhibitions and stuff. And then art just became a hobby in terms of my painting. Yeah.
What are your thoughts about not finishing that degree?
Well, I used to regret it, but then, I used to regret not finishing the degree, but then I realised as I got older, you sort of suddenly get this, you get a sort of wiser view of life, like he says. Well, I would, wouldn't I? I'm older now. And I have this thing in my mind that it doesn't matter what happened to you in the past, however bad or good it was, however regrettable, that it's what's happened then that makes you what you are now. And if you could change it, if you could go back and change it, you wouldn't be what you are now. So in the same way with the One Another project, if Gormley had written a recipe for what he wanted and people had done that, it would have been a completely different thing than it is now. Now it's a natural metamorphosis. It's becoming part of its time in its own way, untouched by anybody, apart from the participants who make it what it is.
And as you know, it is all about the participants. And we are trying to get a portrait of modern Britain. So I'm going to ask, if you could, to try and paint a picture of yourself at this moment in your life.
I've got to the age now, I'm 53, I've got to the age now where it's only going to be 7 years till the BBC are going to want to kick me out of the job. And I've started to realise that a lot of people I see and knew who were a bit older than me at school are starting to shuffle off the mortal coil now. And suddenly, when you're 30 or 25 or 20, and you think, oh, another 20 years, another 30 years, it seems forever away. But suddenly, when you get past 50, and you start thinking about 20 or 30 years, it suddenly seems very, very, very close. You suddenly get to that time in life now, I've got to that time in my life, where I feel as though I need to be living it for me, doing what I want, achieving those dreams and goals. I'm not worrying too much about what people think about it and what I'm doing. Just do it.
Could you describe your dreams and goals?
Dreams and goals, yeah, that's a difficult one. I mean, obviously I'd like to be a painter that paints and people bought their work, and I wouldn't need to work other than paint. I'd like to be involved in arts more. I mean, I could leave my job and try to do that, but then I've got commitments, so obviously, you know, you've got the mortgage to pay and the rates to pay and everything like that, so there are choices you do make. But I'd like to live in Paris, I'd like to have an art studio, I'd like to stroll down the Seine on a sunny spring afternoon, Gouloir in hand, not worrying about smoking bans, spitting at tourists. Sketching and not worrying if anyone looks over my shoulder because I don't give a damn what they think. That would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
So, apart from those, what else attracts you about Paris?
It's a beautiful city. It's got the most stunning architecture, ambience, the noise, the smell, the galleries, the street life. It's a different street life there than it is in any other city in the world. When you're walking down the street, any street, especially in the central district, if you're around Saint-Germain or the Latin Quarter or the Marais district, you're walking around there, you almost feel as though you've become involved in the whole of city life. I mean, you're not. You're just a tourist walking down the street. But you can believe that, and it does make you feel like that, as though you're submerged in this ancient history of art and culture. Of course, if I could speak French, I'd probably realise that actually I'm probably getting a load of flack off all the French people who are taking the mick out of me trying to talk to them. So I'd probably be, yeah, I think it's better not to learn the language, isn't it? Because I can believe what I want to believe then, can't I?
Is the truth important to you then?
The truth is what you see it as, isn't it? Not what it is sometimes. So the truth is obviously important, but we all make our own truths, don't we? We all have our own vision of ourselves, our own place in the world, our own values. That's the truth.
Can I ask what your vision and values are?
I don't have any futuristic visions or visions of future. I have visions of myself and my place within society. It's a rather humble one. I don't see myself as being anything important, or I think when I have shuffled off this mortal coil, friends and family will notice, but I won't have made any impact or dent on in the world. But that's not a bad thing. I don't see that as being bad. I see it as just being a realization of myself within a bigger universe, where we really are just infinitesimal specks in a giant universe. My values, I would say that they are a Christian moral without the Christianity, because I'm not religious at all. Positively atheist. So my values are loosely what Christian society sort of says they should be, really. I mean, some things I may or may not disagree, I may agree with, may not agree with, but you know, that's it really. Nothing important to say on those subjects.
What are your outside interests apart from work and the arts?
Outside interests apart from work and the arts is a difficult one, because there are so many. No, there aren't actually that many really. Friends. I like meeting friends, like meeting up with people. I like going to the pub on a Friday night, to the Friday night club, down our local pub, Cloth Caps and Dominoes. It's not quite like that, but hey, you know, I meet friends down there, we have a bit of a laugh, we go home. Food, I like food, I like cooking, I like travelling, and I quite like golf, but I don't actually play it that much. I like watching it more than playing it.
You mentioned your local pub, how long have you been going to it?
My local pub, I've actually only been going for a couple of years, because before that, the landlord wasn't particularly that good, but it changed hands. The landlord's friendlier now, and it's a real community pub. Where I live is sort of streets of narrow terraced houses in a really old part, well, I say really old, Victorian part of Shrewsbury. And it's quite a close-knit community, and most of the people who live in those houses go to that pub. And Friday night's quite a good night for doing that, because you get, you know, men come along with their wives and girlfriends, and girls come along with their dogs and children, and it's just a real mix of community. It's really, really quite nice.
You mentioned communities. What do you think is the importance of community in society, especially regarding your views?
Well, community is really the structure of society, isn't it? Because without it, the whole thing just becomes anarchistic and falls apart. It's the little networks of community that form the bodice of the bigger tapestry, isn't it? So you have the warp and the weft of the community, and the pattern that comes out at the end is the way in which people interact and interweave within those communities to create a bigger picture.
You mentioned travelling. Is there any particular you'd like to go?
I've never been to, and I would love to go, to India. And it's something I wanted to do for a long, long time, and I do not understand why I've never been. But ever since I was about 15 or 16, and I've seen pictures of it and programs about it and looked at these amazing temples and art and culture, I've always thought it'd be really fantastic to go there. It would be a real culture shock for someone like me who's never been anywhere that's not that westernized. And I've always thought it'd be good. I don't know why I've not been. I ought to, didn't I, really?
How long would you like to spend out there if you had the opportunity?
How long I'd stay there would depend on what it was like when I got there, wouldn't it? Because, I mean, the vision of what it would be, having seen it and read about it, might be completely different. I might get there, and I might be really naff about it and think, it just smells here. I don't like it. Because I no doubt it does smell. It doesn't look the most sanitised places on the planet. And I've heard, of course, from a lot of tourists who've been there, there's a lot of beggars about, understandably. It's a very poor country. So maybe being westernised like I am, maybe I would find that irritating. I like to think I wouldn't, but maybe I would. So it's difficult to say how long you stay there. I mean, I've always had this idea that I'd like to go out there and spend a month or longer there, living in, you know, renting an apartment or a flat or something, and then just going out and drawing and photographing and meeting people. Yeah, that'd be good. Maybe I'll take a couple of months off next year.
You described yourself as westernised. Could you go into further detail about what you mean by that?
Well, I'm westernised because I was born in Shropshire, in the rural counties, just west of Birmingham. I grew up there. All of my early cultural and community experience was all based there. I didn't meet anybody who was actually either Asian or black until I was about 19 and I went off to university in Manchester. So that's how rural it was, and that's what Shropshire's like. It's very still like that nowadays, to be honest. And all of my background culture has been England. I've been away. I've been to Australia for a few months. You know, I go to France quite a lot, Belgium, all around Europe, and Florence. But all those places are sort of fairly westernized. They're not third world. They've all got plumbing. They've all got electricity. They've all got museums and galleries and television and stuff like that. I think that's what I mean by westernized, really.
Do you think it's important for you and for others to go outside of this Western world?
I think people have got to go outside it. I think we have to. Although, having said that, I don't appear to have made much of an effort myself, do I? But I suppose mentally I do. I suppose I do read a lot. You know, I watch a lot. I don't just watch English language films. I watch foreign language films all the time. And I think if you don't explore or go out, then you're at risk of becoming a lesser person. Well, you are a lesser person because you're not experiencing the full range of things that the world's got to offer.